Gotcha. You're listening to Mary and Kelly live on Thrive.
Came to win, to fight, to conquer, to fight. Came to win, to fight, to prosper, to rise, to
good evening. Welcome to Thrive. We are here at the Square Park and they are taking care of us. Welcome to Thrive Weekly Magazine. How are you, Kelly?
I'm great. How are you? Now that we have our coffee,
I know.
Just serve us our coffee.
It's all good.
Yeah, we're good to go.
And the weather, it's that time of year where you don't know if it's going to rain or not.
Yeah.
What is the difference between scattered and isolated, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is I'm okay with either one. I just don't like the forecast all day rain.
I know.
I could take a scattered shower here and there.
Late afternoon is good.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. It usually doesn't last long, so we're good.
That's right.
I don't need any more long rainy days. No more of those.
Do you see a difference in your training schedule now that summer's here?
The only reason I've seen a difference in my training schedule is because the end of the school activities.
Gotcha.
And ball season is ending for a lot of people, so that has kind of taken away from some of the, you know, from the groups a little bit. But
right.
But once all of that is over, it kind of picks right back up. It hasn't been terrible, not a terrible drop off, but you know, a noticeable difference. So, we'll see. Starting next week when school is out
officially,
it'll be back in full swing again. Yeah.
What about those that made the New Year's resolution? I know beginning of the year everybody flocks to a gym. Are they still hanging in there, or have you had the drop off?
Most do. It's really weird. People will, you know, there's an influx of people with making resolutions. Right. A few drop off, but most stay consistent. So that's a good thing.
That's really good.
Yeah. And they usually stay. You know, there are seasonal times that things kind of slow down a little bit, like right now in school. You know, all of this is going on with school and ball games and all of that. And then again around the holidays.
Holidays, probably the other one, right?
Yeah, Christmas. That it starts to drop off in the month of December. So I can't complain.
Awesome. But
yeah, it's really good.
Super. Well, I was doing some research for an interview recently for the Wordsmith Journal. One of the authors wrote a book titled The Wall, and it is a pastor. He's a pastor of a mega church who hit some emotional problems, and he referred to that as his wall. And he said that people generally sometime in their life will hit a wall where your coping skills for other things don't work. It sideswipes you. So in interviewing him, I did some research on different emotional problems. And the statistics are staggering. Now, the Barna Group states 70% of pastors fight emotional issues like depression, anxiety. 52% say on any given day they're stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's leadership.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, the church is supposed to be where, you know, everything's fine, no one has a problem. But in researching this, you know, it brought back to mind some of our recent history and some of the things we've gone through, and we've been very candid with depression, anxiety. Would you say in your experience that the two went hand in hand, or did you always have just anxiety or more depression?
It usually goes hand in hand, you know, because anxiety leads to depression. Mm. You know, you don't like what's going on with that anxious feeling. So I think it kind of leads to a type of depression, really. I think it goes hand in hand. I think there is a completely, you know, separate issue with depression. You know, people who are clinically depressed who may not experience anxiety at all.
Right.
But I think anxiety snowballs or can snowball into depression.
Depression,
yeah.
And that would make sense because the definition of depression is anger turned inward.
Yeah.
So if you're anxious and, you know, upset about the things that make you anxious or upset even at yourself because you can't overcome it, of course depression's going to come.
Yeah, yeah. And it depends on the situation, too, what's going on to cause all of this, you know.
Right, right.
So it could be circumstantial, too, you know. So
that's
I think
right.
there are a lot of factors that play into that. But, you know, I think it's safe to say that a majority of people out there experience both at some point.
I would think so, too. Just life being life.
Yeah.
You know, at some point you are going to. And then, you know, being a believer, you can't discount oppression. And I think a lot of people confuse oppression, spiritual oppression, with depression.
Right.
Don't you?
Yes, I do, too. Which... that as well can cause depression. You know,
I mean, we're here to make it clear, not complicated.
Yeah, I mean, oppression can certainly cause depression.
Yeah,
I'm sure, because you know, when you feel or feeling that way, you want out of that situation, and when you see no way out, you know, that can bring on the depression.
Right. And anxiety for you, what does it feel like when you're going through major panic?
If you're well, like,
I mean, if you're like me, I have sat in the church and had a panic attack.
Yeah, and it is, you know, they're really, to describe panic, panic attacks, there are no words really to describe it other than it is absolutely torturous. There are no words to describe it, and that feeling just seems like such a complete... it's complete feeling of doom, terror.
Yes, yes.
I mean, what else can you say? Just a heightened sense of both, and with a, you know, with no way out. You know, looking at it as there's no way out.
Right.
You know,
and it's not just anxiety. We're not talking about just, you know, that racy feeling, or, you know, like when you're sitting in a doctor's office. That's anxiety.
Yeah.
This is all out panic.
It is. It is. And it sometimes it just, there's no explanation for it. Sometimes it can be circumstantial.
Right.
But nonetheless, it is absolutely horrible either way.
It
because
is.
I've experienced both.
Do you remember your first one?
Yeah.
Tell
me
about it.
It's probably been about seven years ago, and this was for no reason. I don't know where this came from, but it, I felt, it was on a Friday, and I was feeling anxious all day, and but it was a really bad anxiety that I had never experienced, but, you know, I was able to function, but it, you know, it was just, the anxiety was relentless.
Right.
And I was trying to think, what is wrong with me? And it was getting worse and worse. And by that night, I never went to sleep that night, but by that night, it went into a full-blown panic attack that lasted all night.
Oh, my word.
It just would not stop. And I thought I was dying.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yes.
I thought, I'm not going to make it through this. I'm not. And it really, it cycled into several months of dealing with it, you know.
Right, right. Because you live in fear of having that first one.
Yeah, and that night, it was just those feelings, the anxiety, the panic, it manifests physically as well. Once it starts, it's a vicious cycle, and your body starts to respond physically. So,
that's it.
Yeah.
And that's a good point that I wanted to make, too, is that depression isn't just a mental thing, because eventually it will affect your body. And it does affect your body if you have a panic attack.
Right. It does. Your body will begin to manifest the symptoms of it as well.
Right.
Which it just makes it more out of control once that starts to happen.
Yes.
So, and I was at the point at that time that I thought, you know, what's wrong with me? I'm praying like crazy. This is not going away.
Right.
I'm praying, God, take this from me. What have I done? Forgive me if I've done anything to bring this upon myself.
Right.
I need you to take this away from me. And I couldn't feel God. I couldn't feel Him. He didn't take it away. And I thought, my faith must be terrible. My trust and what, I felt like a very inadequate Christian because of it.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't want to go to the doctor. You know, after a week of dealing with it, I didn't want to go to the doctor. I thought, I should be able to pray through this. I should be able to handle this. And then my husband finally talked to me into going to the doctor. He said, you know, if you were dealing with you know, other symptoms for other things, you would go to the doctor.
That's right.
So I finally did.
That's right.
And began taking medication. And I took it for about 9 months. And then, I went off of the medication. I've been okay ever since. I mean, I have my moments. We all do.
Yes.
Where it creeps back in. But sometimes now I can almost learn what to do to keep it from going full-blown.
Right, right. And I loved what you said about, you know, you didn't feel God in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I have not talked to the first person that said, in the middle of my panic attack, the Lord was with me.
Yeah.
You do not feel Him.
No.
And that's normal.
I remember going into my bathroom at one point about 2 or 3 days after that initial panic attack, and it was starting to happen again. But it never really left. It would just come in waves where it was worse, and then it would... But it never left. It was such a terrible oppression around the clock.
Right.
My mind was in such a terrible state. And honestly, I will say that for about a month, I would not even leave my house. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in a terrible state.
Yes.
I would look out my window. And I remember, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. And I was take the kids to school and come right back home. Mm-hmm. And I remember finally trying to venture out to go get my nails done one day. And I thought I was going to lose it.
Yes.
I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And
yes.
I went straight back home.
Yes.
So it was a really bad time.
It's a process.
It was, and there was no reason for it. That's the thing. It wasn't circumstantial. It just came out of nowhere.
Right.
And so I was thinking I would never be the same. I thought that I would never be the same, that I would
right.
always be dealing with that. But I did, you know, I was going to say that after the three or four nights after that initial one, when it initially started, it started coming back again really strong and full force. And I remember going into my bathroom and closing the door behind me and laying on the tile floor because my body felt like it was on fire. You know,
yes,
that manifestation
yes.
of your skin burns and you're sweating, but you're cold. And
right.
But I laid on the cold tile face down and I said, God, I don't think I'm going to survive this. If you don't do something, I really don't think I'll make it through this.
Right.
This may be the end for me. I really felt that way.
Yes.
And, you know, God did not just, you know, miraculously change it right then and there. He
right.
didn't.
Right.
You know, it just, I somehow just continued to make it through each day. And then, you know, here I am today. Thank God I've not had it like that.
Right.
Again, but it is a real problem, and it, you know, for lots of people.
It is, and statistically, we're not alone.
Right.
In our second segment, we're going to break here just for a second. In our second segment, we're going to talk about the stigma attached to it, why Christians don't get help, and then we got good news. We got some pointers on what's actually going to help you get over anxiety and depression. So we're going to end up with some answers. We will be right back.
Kelly and Mary broadcast each week from Square Perk Cafe. Located on the square in historical Covington, Georgia, patrons savor home-cooked goodness and sip on fabulous coffee. It's no wonder Square Perk is known as the place where friends meet. Visit the place Kelly and Mary call home for Thrive Weekly Magazine, like their Facebook page, or give them a call, 678-712-6464. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to Thrive Weekly Magazine. Today we're talking about mental health, emotional health, depression, anxiety, what you can do about it if you are a believer and dealing with it. Hey, welcome to the group. 70% of pastors are dealing with it too.
Yeah.
So you're in a large group. I want to read you this quote. It said, "The church is God's hospital, yet we treat it as if the hurt are unwelcome, blemished and tarnished by substandard faith or sin." And don't you think that's two of the big reasons people don't get help? It's like this health and wealth gospel we preach. Okay, if you're not thriving in your wallet and you're not thriving in your health, oh my goodness, you A, either sin or B, don't have faith.
Exactly, and that's the main reason I would not go to the doctor to get help for the first week or two when it all started.
Right.
Because I thought, I'm a Christian. This should not be happening.
You were a leader, too, at the time,
yes,
right?
In the church. And I thought, I can't tell anyone about this, and because I was a leader in the church, and I certainly should not have to go to the doctor because I should be able to pray through this.
Yes.
And so I think that happens to so many people, and they suffer unnecessarily.
Right, right. In another website that I was researching, it said there are three steps of dealing with depression among Christians, and dealing with it is kind of an oxymoron, because step one, we don't have emotional problems. If difficulties arise, we deny them.
Yeah.
Step two, if we fail to achieve this and can't ignore the problem, we strive to keep it from our friends and family and never, ever breathe a word
right.
to anyone outside of the family.
Right.
Step three, if steps one and two fail, you still don't seek professional help. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that's the unspoken code of the church?
Yeah.
We don't have problems.
Yeah, yeah. People, you know, it's very hard for people to put we all have problems, but we will not put it out there at church most of the time.
Yeah.
For fear of judgment, you know, of appearing weak, mm-hmm. appearing, like you said, you know, lacking in faith.
And, yes.
You know, we've sinned somehow to bring this upon ourselves, you know.
Right.
So
right.
people suffer unnecessarily.
Right. I, you know, as I mentioned before, I have sat in church during praise and worship, the time where I get yes. the most out of
yes.
service, and I have literally watched, you know, my eyes go back and forth to the exit signs, and I'm
yeah.
ready to bolt.
Yeah.
And the whole time, I'm telling myself, you're in church. This yes. is a safe place. You should feel good.
Yeah.
And yet, Kelly, nobody there knew.
Yeah.
And I was freaking out.
I know. And I've been in that position, too, and it's crazy. But, you know, I think our message to today is to get help if you need
yes,
it.
Yes.
It is okay. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're lacking in faith or that you brought it upon yourself. It is a real problem, that just as if you were to find out that you were diabetic, or
yes,
if you were
absolutely.
To, you know, it's a problem that your body has happened to your body, and it has
right.
to be dealt with.
And that's a good point. You know, your husband said, you know, you would go to the doctor if you had any other illness,
yeah.
okay? Depression is the same thing. You cannot pray through it sometimes.
That's right. That's right.
Oppression, you might be able to, because that's spiritual.
Right.
Depression is, you know, complicated. Your body
is
very complicated.
It is.
You may have just experienced something that rocked your world, and you need it temporarily just to balance
yeah.
you out again. But, you know, my goodness, would we deny taking diabetes
yeah.
medication or heart medication?
Right.
So,
we wouldn't.
So don't feel bad if you have to take
That's
medication.
Right. It's okay. And it, you don't have to take it forever. 90%
That's right.
of the time you're going to be able to wean yourself off of it. And then do things to prevent, you know, that can help prevent it.
Yes, yes.
You know, and there are things you can do to help prevent it. You know, and sometimes it'll come sneaking back. You know, it just will. But it doesn't mean that it has to last forever. It doesn't have to last as long. You know, you
right.
learn different ways to take control of it.
Right.
You know, and that's, don't beat yourself up if it does come back at some point, because more than likely it will.
It will. If you think about, you know, for women, midlife, you know, perimenopause, hormones
yeah.
affect you so much.
Yes.
I don't know how many different websites I've researched, and hormones alone will bring
yeah.
on panic, heart palpitations.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know?
Hormones play a huge part in it. I think when that was happening to me, I was, you know, late 30s. And my doctor, when I finally did go, said, told me that she sees so many women between 35 and 45 years old that come in with the same problem, and it's hormonal
yeah.
related. So,
and now, women have thyroid issues,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
that can affect it.
So it's going to be, you know, we can be all over the place.
I know, between life and just, you know, your bodies and everything, yeah. Don't be afraid to get
yeah.
that help. And somehow we've got to get to the point where, if we see somebody suffering, there's not the stigma attached.
Right.
You know, we
right.
want to get in there and help them.
Yes, and do not judge someone. That if you know that they're dealing with that, don't judge. They cannot help it. And just like if you were to find out that you were diabetic, you can't
right.
help that. You know, it just happens. We don't judge people because they're diabetic.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. And leaders, find a mentor or find somebody that you trust and
yeah.
talk to them. You know.
Yeah.
I forget the statistic, but it's very, very high of ministers that don't even have somebody they can talk to.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, they're supposed to carry the world.
Right.
They're not allowed to be vulnerable.
Right.
Or weak. But we have to be.
We have to be. And you can find someone to confide in and trust and tell everything to that will keep it confidential. That doesn't mean that the world is going to know.
That's right.
Just because you find one person. You have to find that right person that you can trust.
That's right. Good advice. Coming up, we promised good news. Kelly, from her skill and experience and knowledge, is going to tell us how we can work through some of that stress and depression and anxiety. Here's some tips to help you. We'll be right back.
Thrive Weekly Magazine is interested in the spiritual, emotional, and physical aspect of our listeners, and has devoted the last segment of each show to health and well-being. As always, before starting a new fitness routine or altering treatments of any kind, please consult your physician. We'll be right back.
Today, it is all about mental health. Christianity Today says depression lowers life expectancy as much as smoking. Depression affects the body. So, Kelly, what can we do?
Well, exercise, of course, I would say, is one of the best things that you can do outside of medication for anxiety and depression. I'm going to go through several different reasons why, and there are about 10 or 12 here that I have. It reduces stress. Your body releases endorphins as you're working out, which is, it's like the happy chemicals in your body. You know, your workouts, you may not feel like working out, but once you get there and you get going and sweating, those endorphins start to kick in, and you really start to feel that stress relief coming on. You can feel a release in your body, and that's the endorphins. You know, even doctors will tell you that exercise can be just as effective as antidepressant medication.
Wow.
So it is, and it is so true. Believe me, I know from experience, it is so true that this works. It improves self-confidence. Anytime someone's dealing with anxiety or depression, they are not feeling confident about themselves. You know, we've talked about a lot of reasons why they're not. You know, internalizing it, feeling like I've done something, I should be stronger than this. But when you go and you're exercising and you're accomplishing things, it can boost your self-esteem. And when you see that you're accomplishing something, your body's working hard, your chemicals in your body are responding to that exertion and that exercise, it just boosts your self-esteem and self-image. And then also there are different ways of exercising that can bring about, you know, a sense of happiness or relaxation or whatever you want to call it. Relaxation and working out in the same sentence doesn't seem right, but I enjoy working out outside. An outdoor workout, it is just something about being outside, and it just gives you a sense of, you know, freedom, release, euphoria, just because you're out in the outdoors, what God created, and you're doing something to your body and forcing your body to respond the way that it should. God created our bodies to heal themselves.
Yes.
God did create our bodies that way, but that doesn't mean just physically if you cut yourself.
Right.
That
right.
means emotionally and mentally as well. So, you know, there's a reason why there's such a domino effect when you're working out, because all of these, your body releases the endorphins, and then it stabilizes all the chemicals in your brain that can be out of whack, especially when you're dealing with depression, anxiety. And also, it stabilizes hormones as well, which can cause those problems, anxiety,
right.
depression. So, it,
right.
you know, your body is balancing out. It's responding to what you're doing, which can alleviate or, you know, resolve some of the anxiety and depression. It alleviates anxiety. I'll read this. It says, which is better at relieving anxiety, a warm bubble bath or a 20-minute jog? You might be surprised at the answer. The warm and fuzzy chemicals that are released during and after exercise can help people with anxiety disorders to calm down. Hopping on the track or treadmill for some moderate to high-intensity aerobic exercise can reduce anxiety, sensitivity, and we thought intervals were just a good way to burn calories. It's not. You know, doing intervals of, you know, cardio. The cardio is the best stress relief. I mean,
right.
Weights are great, but the cardio is what really gets you going as far as that stress relief. It, you know, it sharpens your memory, it boosts brain power. Those are some added benefits. It also helps control addictions. You know, we have a lot of people who come in and trying to recover from an addiction, and working out really helps that because, again, it stabilizes the chemicals in your brain and your body, and you know, it just helps to level things out. It increases relaxation. If you're working out, you're going to sleep better at night. You're less likely to lay there thinking about everything that's going on under the sun.
Right.
It really does help you relax at night. You get more done. You can, you know, once you get that boost of energy from a workout, you feel like doing more.
Right.
The motto at my gym is do more, be more.
Yeah.
The more you do, the more you're going to want to do. Anxiety and depression, like I said, I became a recluse. I didn't even want to leave my house. But the more you do, even if you force yourself, the more you're going to want to do.
That's good.
So even when you're dealing with the worst anxiety and depression. And not only that, it will inspire others. You will inspire others to do the same. And when you see that what you're doing is causing someone else to better themselves or get help, then that makes you feel fulfilled in itself.
Right.
So the working out, you know, just to be, you put it simply, you know, it releases the endorphins. It stabilizes all those chemicals that can go nuts when you're dealing with those issues, hormones, and it just gives you a general sense of well-being. It just does. I mean, sometimes I think there are really no good way to describe why, other than that's the way God created us.
Yes.
You know, to be able to recover and resolve issues within ourselves by exercising, eating right, doing the things that He's called us to do to our bodies, you know, to take care of them.
Right. There's a huge mind-body connection, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely.
You feed one, you feed the other.
Yeah, and that, no doubt about it. And I can't really stress enough, and you know, that's where talking with some of my clients would really, you know, I have lots of clients who have dealt with anxiety and depression and say they can never give up working out because that's been their saving grace in those times of anxiety and depression.
Wow. You know, one of my heroines is Dorothy Dix, and I was briefly telling you about her, but she was a mental health advocate back in the mid-1800s, Civil War nurse. But she saw that the mental, those that had mental illnesses were being chained right next to prisoners and just treated like, you know, monsters. And she took them out of prisons and established mental homes where they were not, you know, medicated. They would go outside. They would garden. They had their own chores. They did. She treated them like they were normal.
Yeah.
So what you're saying about connecting with nature and working out and, you know, don't become a recluse, this goes back 150, 160 years.
The longer you sit in your house, the your mind is going to be all over the place. Your thoughts are your own worst enemy. When you're all alone sitting in your house, I know from experience that you become so bound by your mind and your thought process because it will spiral out of control and you'll never find a way out of it if you do that.
Yes. You don't have to stay there.
No.
Get help. It's not your fault. It's not a spiritual inadequacy.
But you may have to take some uncomfortable steps. You may not want to get started. Like I didn't even want to go get my nails done that day.
Yes.
You may have to take some steps that are going to be pretty hard at first. But just know that with each step, the next step will be a little easier until you find that what you're looking for, some relief from your anxiety and depression.
Absolutely. Great advice.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes when we're at our weakest, call out to Him and let Him know, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's all you have is, I can't do this.
Yeah, exactly. Been there.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Excellent advice, whether you're a leader, whether you're a parishioner, whether you're, you know, you're just suffering right now. Get help. You don't have to suffer. It's not your fault. And get better.
Yes, you will.
That's right. And we will see you next week here on Thrive Weekly Magazine. Have a great week.
If you enjoyed- enjoyed today's show, drop us a line and let us know. Our email address is thriveradiotalkshow@gmail.com. We are also on Facebook. We have a group page, and that's Thrive Radio Talk Show. Kelly is also on Facebook, Kelly Davis Williams, K-E-L-L-Y-E, Davis Williams, and myself, Mary Nicholson. We will see you next week for another show.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to thrive. I came to win, to fight, to prosper, to rise. Yeah.